Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Zach, Rob, J, Matt, and Alana.
Group dude.
Today we're playing Marvel Rivals and we all just got team killed.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing.
I was already dead.
And we're talking about The Last of Us episode 2 of season 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Episode three.
Yeah, I didn't take notes, so I watched the episode a long time ago, so I don't remember what happened.
Okay, I didn't take notes either, but let's see what we
opening
remember.
Opening scene is Tommy looking at Joel's dead body,
and
his dad, and it's not Pedro Pascal because his face has a hood on it.
Oh,
of course, they're not gonna get Pedro Pascal back for that just to lie on the ground.
$1 million.
Not.
Yeah,
he should be committed.
It is one scene. I mean, I don't know. They like travel really far to like shoot that show. Like, you just like, yeah, I'm already here, might as well.
Like, yeah, why isn't he just around? Where is he?
Why?
Whatever. The point. It's like, I don't believe it's really him because you can't see it's him.
I'm in this episode, I thought.
You still.
It's like, I love him too.
I guess he is the busiest actor in Hollywood. So.
Yeah. Currently, yeah. I can't remember if he did actually stay or not. I'm pretty sure.
Stay?
I'll stay for that scene.
Well, I assume that he's going to be in flashback.
Yeah.
So Ellie has to talk to Catherine O'Hara about her feelings. Yeah. And there's a scene
because
where they do that.
Oh, yeah. In the hospital because she's been there forever.
Oh, we have to skip to scene where Ellie wakes up and she starts screaming.
This is a scary cold opening.
That was a freaky chest tube. I've been watching a lot of ER.
That was more convincing than some of other Ramsay performances.
You guys think she kind of looks like an owl?
You know, she looks
like a chipmunk. A chipmunk.
Yeah.
You guys know who Charlie Kirk is? That's who she looks like.
Yeah,
wow. That's pretty damning.
It's true. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
Scary. I thought it was effective.
It was bad.
It's been a little while since I saw it, so I'll take your word for it.
It's like in the hospital right after the big fight. And so she's talking to Catherine O'Hara, and they talk about their feelings, and she leaves. And then
Catherine O'Hara doesn't buy her, she's fine. Yeah.
And tells her that she knows actually who killed Joel.
Well, yeah, but she's looking at Joel's shirts. It's all sad. His giant gun, which I guess was in the first season, but I don't remember it.
It's the main gun.
It's like Andrew Lincoln's gun from
gun that
Dead.
She always wants to play with.
I was thinking Han Solo's blaster, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I did like when Dina's like, this is a peace offering because I'm about to say something to make you mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It must be so hard to find chocolate in that world.
Can you imagine?
She's not grateful because she sucks still.
This is terrible.
But anyway, yep. So because they live in a society, they have to ask the council to go after Abby. Well,
this is
I didn't really
part.
Understand why they're like, we need 16 people to go do it. I'm like, why can't Ellie just leave?
Because she can't do it on her own. She'll die out there on her own.
I mean,
but they care because her life is no longer her own. She's an asset to the community.
Yeah.
Is she a slave? She's allowed to leave.
Of course she's allowed to leave, but she wants to take people with her.
Greater.
Whose idea was it to take people with them? Maybe I was playing on my phone.
It was discussed off screen.
Okay.
So this was my favorite part of the episode because it's a really interesting moral dilemma and both sides present sort of good points. I actually feel like the anti-intervention side was a lot stronger.
Yeah, it was absolutely a lot stronger.
I agree.
They came to kill Joel specifically. Joel did something to piss them off. The whole community doesn't need to suffer because of whatever Joel did.
Also, just everyone else died. There's like seemingly like 50 deaths, and there's like, no, Joel, we have to avenge specifically.
Right, exactly. Well, they can't do revenge against the zombies.
Well, I wonder if any of them figured out that the zombies were Abby's fault, albeit unintentionally.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's no way for them to. I don't know. They don't even know Abby exists until Ellie starts talking about it. One. Two, I mean, they were already prepping for the swarm, and they knew about the pipes, so they probably thought they'd cause it themselves by messing with the pipes, if anything.
Well, what did you guys think of...
Which it kind of is true, because, I mean, those nodes did activate without Abby, so they were already still active and alive when they popped open that pipe, so who knows? Who's to say if Abby's to fault?
Yeah. Well, what did you guys think of Seth's argument where he's like, if we just let them get away with it, they'll just come back, and they want more?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
True. I would assume that.
It's like a metaphor for the war on terrorism.
Like a metaphor for like revenge and how like no one wins.
If you seek revenge, dig two graves.
But there is like just five of them. I'm like, well, they can't do that much against the town.
Well, they don't know. Maybe as we find out later, there are more than five of them.
Yeah, so would you guys like Jules Pierre Amel showing up?
Jules what?
I did, yeah.
Jules
yeah,
Pierre Amel.
Francois Chau. Yeah. I don't remember what context he was in, though.
Like, we need to forgive them. We need to forgive our enemies. I'm not even Christian, and I believe that. But I kind of feel... You guys might want to weigh in on this. Don't you only forgive people who they want to be forgiven? Otherwise, it's just nice for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's more that, like, yes, we... I don't know. I felt like more like, yes, it sucks that Joel died, but, like, they're obviously dangerous people, and they've left us alone, so...
Yeah, they're not there to attack the town. They were there just for Joel.
Let's cut our losses, you know?
Right. I mean, like, if Ellie wants to go by herself, that's fine.
But do the characters know that? They only wanted to kill Joel?
Well, she's... Yeah, Ellie's alive, so is says Tina. That.
Oh, yeah,
you know? Yeah, Abby explicitly says, you know, I'm here for Joel. I'm only here for you. Like, she lets Ellie live, right?
And Dina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dina, who was also there.
That's right.
Yeah, but Dina was inconsequential. Dina was a good soul, and Ellie deserved to die in their eyes, too, so...
Ellie deserved to die?
Ellie was Ellie's the reason they were all there in the first place.
Do they know that?
Yeah. They even talk about... They're like, it was you. And she's like, yeah.
Well, they learn. They learn that it was her.
Oh, they 100%... Yeah. Because Abby was there. Like, she understood.
Yeah, but then... Why didn't they kill her?
They don't
then?
Kill her. They didn't kill her.
Because
though.
No, she wasn't the specific person who killed. She was just a bystander-ish person. Like, she was the reason, but she wasn't the cause of the death.
I think in the first episode, they mentioned, like, they're just going to kill Joel. Like,
yeah,
I think
that's
that
all
was
they
their...
wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Ellie was unconscious. Like, she didn't have a major effect of it. She wasn't a major part of it, but it was a thing that happened because of her. So, yeah. So she was going to let her go because she understood, like... It wasn't her, the choice was taken out of her hands. Like, it was all Joel. Like, so that was the intent.
And maybe she was like, I'm going to let you live the way I have to live.
With the pain and suffering.
Yeah. Okay. So then there's a good part with Tommy and the therapist at a baseball game. Which she's like, these kids aren't that much worse than the Detroit Tigers. By the way, someone's echoing. So there's a good bit where they're like, yeah, Ellie's a liar, but doesn't mean she's lying about this. But of course. Of course, she is lying about it.
What's she lying about?
But she's like, I'll abide by the council's decision.
The council said they can't send 16 people, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, loophole.
Yeah.
Did you guys like that?
100% was a loophole. She was like, yeah, okay, I abide. I'm not going to expect other people to follow me. I'm just going to go by myself. And then Dean had to come and tag along. Like, ugh. And then...
Let her go. Did you guys like the homophobic guy being like... Hell yeah, you kill him.
Yeah, he was great. When he was like, I'd come with you, but someone shot me. And I was like, are you sure they shot you accidentally?
He's even badass. So he's like, trade the gun. Come on, take my gun. No. Nope.
He's like, my gun's better.
You've gone online.
Upgrade. All right, so what else?
We meet this other faction. These people who are, they scar themselves and they believe in the prophetess.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, the crazy people.
So, like,
with the
when
bows
you're in a cult, like, how many scars. Things do you need to wear? You need scars and shave your heads, and the women need to have braids.
By the way, was that guy in. Sorry, Alon. Go ahead.
That was it.
What?
I cut you off mid rant. Sorry about that.
Well, I just think that their cult's a little excessive in their uniform.
Really, Alon, that's like Jews. You need the hat and the tefillin and the circumcision.
And, like, the, like, curly things on the side of your head.
The bows and arrows.
And want to just rip people's guts out.
Yeah.
Is that what they wanted?
Yeah. That's what they did.
Wait, who did what? That?
Jay,
the
what
people
are you talking
the people
about?
That it happened to.
They just like to see people die. Oh, I'm talking about two different people.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. So yeah, we meet them and it's like, can we have one post-apocalypse show without a cult? Is that too much to ask?
I thought you would like this one. I don't know if they're gonna get to this part yet, but it's like or it's a choice between two bad
they didn't get actions.
They don't get to anything.
Yeah.
No,
it's where they just see the kid and the family get introduced, basically.
And then they all die.
Yeah.
Kill Captain America.
I guess. Okay, yeah, so we meet them, and then they travel, and they travel, and they travel, and they travel, and then there's a really... And then back to our...
Yeah,
but there's... there was that sexy part in the tent. I thought they were going to get it on for sure.
Get
it on.
Get out of the gutter.
Anyone else in the tent? Do they smooch?
No.
No.
What happens? Who are you?
Bond over the fact that Joel was like a father to them.
When they start talking about the kiss.
They look like sisters.
Yeah. Mom. How about that? How do you like that now?
No, did you hear what I said? That it was more like Barry and Iris.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
They're going and they're going and they're going, and then suddenly they discover the dead bodies of the cultists.
Yeah.
And Dina can't take it. It's too gross even for her.
Oh, yeah. She throws up. Blech.
What? When did she throw up already?
You're jumping ahead.
Sorry.
what is it? Star Trek?
Can't help it. It's your guys' fault. I thought we were going to do the whole season.
So they meet that, and then they discover the audience sees the wolves, which I feel like they were doing camera tricks to hide how many wolves.
Probably.
Maybe.
They were showing the feet, and they had the trucks drive by. So I was like, are they using a camera trick because they only have one truck? Right?
They could put CGI stuff at the back.
And then they show the
about that part in Alien where they use the mirror to make it seem like there's like a million pods.
There's a little bit like that too. And then also when they show the wolves marching, it's all from behind. So it makes it. I wonder if they just use the villager extra.
Probably.
I would assume.
Wouldn't you like to be an extra in The Last of Us?
Yeah. So apparently the wolves are really, really dangerous. There's like a ton of them. So that's interesting. I like the threat.
What's their goal? Why are they there? What do they do?
Who are the wolves?
Yeah, what are they trying to do?
Mass
are they
power?
Trying to make a society, or are they just what are they doing?
They seem just like a mass their area, and that's that.
Protect the den.
I think they had more altruistic ideals before Jeffrey Wright slowly, I guess.
Spoilers.
Oh,
it's a spoiler minefield.
Oh my god, come on.
See, you couldn't even play it off like I did.
That a person is in the show that's in the game, I guess, too.
I didn't know that he was in the game. Yeah, so they march, and that's the end of the episode. I thought it was a good episode. Good moral dilemma, good increasing threat. Is it too obvious to think that the wolves killed the cultists, or is there some third faction?
Ooh,
scary third faction. Don't forget the zombies.
Yep, they're kind of a faction.
This show is becoming more and more like Fallout, all these factions.
By the way, I thought the leader of the cultists was the guy from Fallout, the cowboy.
Oh, Walton Goggins? Yeah.
He kind of
looks like Walton Goggins?
Yeah, I thought it was Walton Goggins, yeah.
That'd be cool.
You silly.
So, yeah, anything else to say about the episode?
It was boring.
Boring is your moral dilemma.
Nothing. It was not moral dilemma. There's no dilemma. The solution was obvious.
Do we seek revenge or do we move on with our lives?
Do we let one person seek revenge and everyone else can move on with their lives?
Yeah,
that sounds easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do you.
Yeah, you had knock yourself out. Like whatever.
Yeah.
The only dilemma part is do they let her take their ammo, which I guess they do need their ammo.
He led the psycho team that hates everybody.
I would say Ellie must be the most hated person there. They're just go do what you gotta do, girl.
Please leave.
Something else I forgot to mention is while they're in the tent and it's sexy, there's a part where they fail the Bechdel test because they talk about Jesse. And there's a part where Dina says, does Jesse seem sad to you? And Ellie says, yeah, I guess so. And she says, I thought it might have been just me. It's like, why wouldn't Jesse be sad? They live in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, right.
An inch away from death at any given moment.
That guy seems like a really terrible actor.
What? Oh, he's great.
Oh, wait.
How dare you?
He's
a little sheltered. I agree.
Yeah.
So I hear you're on the council now.
Yeah, his face looks the same in every scene.
He kind of acts like that in the game, though. He's just kind of very stern and by the book.
I mean, it's his face line when Tim to change his face. You mean his expression is the same?
Right, his expressions.
I like Jesse. I'm pro Jesse.
Is that the same guy was mocap in the game?
Do you think we'll ever see him again?
The same guy who was mocap?
Yeah. Was the guy who's Jesse, was he in the game? Or is he
the actor? Probably.
I don't think it was.
He's too young. No. The game came out a long time ago.
Well, it came out in 2020, I think.
Yeah.
The second one didn't come out that long ago.
I guess that's true. Are we all? Is everybody dead? Oh God, yes.
Let's see. Well, if we're ready for questions of the day, I want to get Guru in on it. So.
Oh wait, no, shoot. Naomi wanted to do a Naomi's Notes.
Okay. Well, what? We're trying to make him a C9.
Also, I'd like to say there's two Brokeback references in this episode, kind of. They almost hook up in the 10. That's one, and then
that's considered a Brokeback reference.
Consider that Brokeback reference.
Two gay people in of 10.
Gay tension is a
yeah,
gay exactly.
Genshin, yeah, Genshin Impact. No,
is it really
Genshin Impact? Pulling out the Genshin
Impact, baby. The main one was like she like goes to Joel's closet and like kind of like she's like could have like oh dead person that I used to love.
Does she smell his clothing?
Practically.
Okay. Yeah.
Then, yeah. She pulls it out and kind of holds it tight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that then. I like this episode because it kind of set a direction for the show, even though I don't like the direction. Like, even though I don't agree that they should be going off on this quest, at least it's not them just hanging
you
out in the
no
town.
Heart.
At least it's just them hanging out in the town and like, yeah.
No sense of justice.
Yeah,
what justice? He killed her dad. Abby's dad.
Yeah.
Justice for not allowing, for wanting to kill his kid. Without consent.
I like that they're like raising.
You're saying we should get consent from kids before we kill them?
That's a radical view.
Yeah. Why do you hate women?
So what do you mean? I'm giving them consent.
No, they have a right to their bodies.
Kids have a right to their bodies, and they have the right to kill, to choose if they want to die or not.
Choose to be a zombie or not.
Okay.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, Naomi.
Hello. How you doing?
Hey. It's time. It's been a while, but I'm back with Naomi's note.
Naomi's notes. Welcome back. It's nice to have you back.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. So I guess one of the reasons it took so long for me to get back is that I finally finished a series that I had been working on for a while. It's 7 seasons, and I wanted to talk about it.
Seven seasons?
And a movie.
We wish.
Movies. Who wants to talk about movies?
I have, crossovers in my head with other properties and stuff.
Hollywood has not returned your calls.
No. But I will say, it probably should have been, 4 seasons.
4 seasons? The 4 seasons?
Yeah. So the show is
Younger Than.
She's with the younger guy.
No. Okay. So let me talk about the premise of the show. First of all, the main character is played by none other than Sutton Foster, who is a, Broadway superstar. I've actually seen her now twice live. Once at the very beginning of her career, she started off, she was in Thoroughly Modern Millie on Broadway. And I went with a group when I was in high school in what year was that? 2002 or 3 or something, early Sutton Foster. And then just this past fall, my hero of a husband got me orchestra tickets to see her in Once Upon a Mattress. And she's just incredible. So anyway.
And she broke up Hugh Jackman's marriage.
Yeah, most importantly.
That we don't need to go there. We don't need to go there. Whatever.
We don't need to discuss.
But so she plays the main character, and also Hilary Duff is one of the other main characters. So it's it's great. And there's other great people in it as well. But anyway, the premise is that she plays a woman who is in her early 50s, which she is, I believe, in the show, actually. And basically, she is newly divorced. She was a stay-at-home mom for basically 20 years, her daughter's in college, and she finally needs to have a job again. And so she tries to interview all over the place. And no one wants to hire her because she's a has-been, and she doesn't know the new lingo or the new technology or whatever. But she was apparently really successful in publishing before she had kids, or a kid. She has one kid. So anyway, she's at a bar in Brooklyn one night, as you do, and this young guy comes up and hits on her a little bit, and he thinks that she's 26 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so then she's laughing about that with her friend afterwards, and her friend is you should pretend to be 26 and try applying for jobs and see what happens.
Wow.
And they made a 7-season show based on this premise.
Real feminism here.
So she pretends to be 26, applies for the job, obviously gets it. And then she has to pretend to be 26 for a while. And she makes, and so Hilary Duff plays the like actually 26-year-old colleague of hers.
Duff's not 26.
I mean, the show, that's the other thing. So I just finished it. It's 7 seasons. It's old.
The show
it's
is not old?
Well, Sutton Foster's on Broadway, so I can't be that reason. And she broke up Hugh Jackman's marriage, as we discussed.
Yeah.
Busy. She's like, got a lot going on.
20, like at least 10 years ago, like 2015 or maybe even earlier, 2013. Like it's old. To the point
where. Wow, you're older than that, you know.
What?
You're older than 2013.
I got married in 2013. I'm aware.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, but what's weird is that a big part of the premise is like they end up having this like imprint or whatever at their publishing company that Hilary Duff and Sutton Foster get to like run together, and it's called Millennial, and the whole thing is it's about like, you know, those young millennials, and she's supposed to be like
millennials.
She's like a millennial poser, but also like I'm a millennial and I'm almost 40, so the show's old.
The millennial, she's a fake stolen valor millennial, is that what you're saying?
Is the idea. Wow. But it's also really weird because it's like, wait, you're saying the 40 something year old is not a millennial?
No, they are millennials.
No, I mean, when the show came out, people who were 40
were not
Gen X. They were Gen X, but now they're 50. And so that's how time works.
So
I am at the best.
So so you're going to give us like a recommend or not recommend the show?
Highly recommend the show. There will be a point where you will be like, what? Am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yes.
A lot of curses like a spoiler. You know that.
I don't know if it's like NPR or whatever. So there will be a point where you're like, what the fuck? And then you should probably stop watching. But you're not going to want to stop watching because it's like a car wreck and you can't look away.
You know, Dad really didn't like this show.
That doesn't sound like a big recommendation to me.
But he watched the whole thing. Yeah, your dad did watch the whole thing.
All 7 seasons?
He watched it through his eyelids.
Sound like him.
He did. It's got some interesting themes. I mean, like, it actually is, there are sort of feminist themes around, like, you know, the double standard that women have to deal with in their careers and, like, how to have it all and all of that. There's some, like, interesting romantic tension, some, like, sexual moments, yada yada.
My vapors.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so there's, like, a lot of stuff. You're gonna feel things. There's also a lot of great like guest stars and cameos and stuff. In one of the seasons, what's his name, who was on Glee, the guy who played the teacher?
Matthew Morrison.
Oh my god, I hate him.
Yeah.
Of course you do, Alana. You hate everything that brings joy.
True. You would actually really like this episode, Alana, because his character is a little fun. So he's in like an episode or two, and it's actually a lot of people who are like Broadway people, which you don't usually get to see on TV, which is kind of fun.
Nina Fontana in that?
Who?
Okay, Naomi, you don't make any sense.
Wow.
Because you love this show and you love Broadway and you won't watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and it doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's overwhelming how much of it there is to catch up on, to be perfectly
honest. There's only 4 seasons. You just watched 7 seasons of this show.
But they're hour-long episodes.
They're 45 minutes.
Okay. I will watch it. What is
you
it
just
on?
Got clout, Naomi. I think Netflix. Now it's probably on Netflix. Yeah, it was on Hulu. Yeah. Or not on Hulu, on CW, right?
Yeah, it was a CW show. Okay. But I think all the CW shows are on Netflix.
Okay, I'll tell you what. When I'm currently watching the 3rd season of Ginny and Georgia that just dropped. When I'm done with that, I will watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Aren't those episodes 40 minutes?
They are, but I'm hooked because I already watched
season 1. Oh my god.
Hooked on a feel.
Anyway, back to Younger. Other things to note. So one character who's kind of like a recurring regular is, and I don't know the actor's name, but he's on Shrinking, and he also played Prince Dauntless in the production of Once Upon a Mattress that we saw on Broadway with Sutton Foster. So they worked together again after the show. Fun to note. What is his name? Do you know his name, Matt?
No.
You know who I'm talking about, though?
Yes.
He plays the gay best friend on Shrinking.
Yes.
He plays the gay best friend in everything he does.
Naomi, if you came back to do a Naomi's Notes on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I would be very excited to talk to you about it.
I will do it for you, Alana. For you.
Okay.
For you.
The one thing I will say about Younger is it's got all these Broadway superstars in it, and it is not a musical.
So does Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Okay, but it's not a musical.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is a musical.
Yes, it is a musical.
So Younger is not a musical, but they do that thing that shows do sometimes where, like, you know the actors can sing, so they'll, like, do clever plot things to make them sing on screen. Like, there or even, like, dance. Like, there's one thing where, like, she goes to, like, a Great Gatsby-themed party for some reason, and ends up doing this whole tap routine. And I'm like, yeah, we know something about tap dance. Like, that's not news. And like, there's another thing where she like has like, she like goes on mushrooms and has this weird hallucination where she's like doing this whole big dance routine. It's like there's stuff like that where it's just like, okay, we get it.
By the way, we're talking about Winnie the Pooh earlier, and the part of the Heffalumps and Woozles is in the original movie and is just as terrifying as I remember.
Give us the thumbs up or the thumbs down. It sounds like the thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. The one thing I'll say is that like the big secret or whatever like gradually becomes less secret as the series goes on, and you have to kind of keep track of who knows and who doesn't. And then it's probably like mid season six when like literally everybody knows, but they just keep going. So like,
it's like a superhero secret identity.
Yeah. That's and exactly then every single like. Time someone finds out, they act really hurt about it, and then they're on board. Like every time.
Do they say you lied to me? And she said, but I lied in order to protect you.
I lied in order to protect me.
I lied to save the company. I lied all sorts of reasons. Yeah.
All right. Question number one comes to us courtesy of Guru, but it's appropriate because I ran into somebody. I was in New York City yesterday, and I ran into somebody from high school.
Oh my God.
Actually, to be more accurate, he ran into me. And so shout out. You know who you are. You're definitely listening. He texted me afterwards and he said, I was so nervous when I approached you that I hoped you weren't your brother. I would have been so embarrassed. Like, I was going up to talk to you, and I was worried that you were going to be your brother.
Wait, you guys didn't go to high school together, so it wasn't like, oh, I hate that guy.
No.
Who it is.
I'll talk about it later. And so the question is, how would you describe yourself as a teenager?
Perfect.
Wow. And humble. Perfect and humble.
Yeah.
So I've told Guru many times that before she and I met, I was a dweeb. And she's asked me what that means, and I have never been able to tell her.
You can't tell her, you don't want to tell her?
No, I don't know how to put it into words, Rob.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I get it.
Yeah. It has to be seen to believe. I think I would say it's overused, and it's everywhere, but it's still true. I'm going to say awkward.
Awkward.
Yeah, it's true. Because I wanted to say shy, but I wasn't shy. I wanted to talk to people, but I didn't know how.
I would say shy for me. So yeah, I feel like by senior year, I kind of started to get my shit together, but I was still pretty shy. Yeah.
I was into theater, but I wasn't a theater kid. You know the type.
I'd say I was a goody-goody. Not a goody-goody, but I was a well-behaved, by-the-books person.
Really? That shocks me.
For the most part, surprised
by that. When was your juvenile delinquent days? It was before then?
Yeah. Well, I lived on my own, so I had to basically behave.
Okay, but like the thermometer and the like stuff like that, that was like in elementary school?
The what?
When you held up the thermometer to the light bulb to make
that
it
was
see
Zach.
It. No, oh, that yeah. was Jay.
No, that was me. That was me. Yeah, that was me. And that was me in third grade.
Okay. So it was like grade school.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a while back. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I pretty much was a goody-goody for the most part. I mean, minor things here and there, but like for the most part, I followed the rules. I went to school despite living on my own. I went to work every day, paid my bills on time. I got
model
multiple,
citizen.
Yeah, I got multiple awards for when on trips, school trips, for being the least hassle.
They give out awards for that.
Award to Jay,
and I was like, that's right. They're like, yeah, Jay will just be fine on his own. Do whatever you want. And I was just like, okay.
Thanks, teacher.
Damn straight.
Okay. All right. So Alana said perfect. Rob said, I got this server.
The thunderstorm kid. You want to start over?
Zach said dweeb. Rob said shy. Alana said perfect.
I didn't answer yet.
Yep. That's we noticed.
True. When I was a teenager?
Yes.
I mean, I was a theater kid. Like, actually. That's not
okay. Are you Naomi?
What?
In terms of your personality?
In terms of my personality? People?
No, I mean, did you have a theater kid personality?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean dead? Just kidding.
Right. I mean, I was going to say, have you met me, Zach?
I think I was mischievous at school, but at home, I was the most obedient.
Mischievous?
Mischievous as a teenager.
I can't imagine that, Guru. I can't imagine that.
I could see that. She's got that little twinkle in her eye of mischievousness.
I bet for Guru, mischievous is like, I don't know, even know. Like something so minor.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you some stories that are not being live streamed. How liable.
That brings me to my next point. Which brings me to my next question, courtesy, it's not courtesy of anyone, I made it up. Have you ever been sent to the principal's office, and if so, why?
Oh, yeah.
This is a great question to ask right after the
thank you, one. Thank you, thank you.
Wait, okay, can I answer this first?
Or did it count if you were sent in elementary school?
Yes, no, just ever.
I would like to answer this first. I was sent to the principal's office in high school for throwing a party during the middle of the day and having 15 kids skip school to attend.
Jay, you just told me you were pretty good.
I know. So the conflicting information. No. So I threw a birthday party at my house in my apartment when I lived alone. Right. Basically, I had two friends whose birthday and my birthday were right around the same time, and they were like, "Hey, can we just skip school and go to your place?" And I said, "Feel free." Sure. And they're like, "We're going to tell a bunch of people to skip school and go to your apartment." I was like, "Sure, whatever. The door will be unlocked." And then I was sick that day, so I was already there. And then, 15 people came to my apartment to have a party and stuff. And then the end.
It sounds like it was your fault, though.
So we would have been fine, but the prior night during school musical practice, they used the landline in the chorus room, in our choir room, to make prank calls to various people, houses. So they tracked it down to the theater kids, which were us. I wasn't one of the make people doing the prank calls because I was a goody-goody. About five people from there were at my party. Well, we're at the apartment, so they tracked us, and then they cornered someone else, and they ratted on everybody, so then they raided my apartment. And then I ended up having to go see the principal. They dragged me in, and I got morning detention, where all I had to do was show up 15 minutes earlier than everybody else. And I just bought donuts, and I went in, and I sat in the office and donuts.
Okay.
But I was a goody-goody. It wasn't my fault. I was sick, and they just came to party.
So I'm going to tell a story about when I went to the principal's office in sixth grade, which is going to be very different. Here we go.
You think to this day that you're right.
Right. So, okay. So for context, I went to a very small Jewish day school. And so there were 15 kids in my class. Everybody knew each other, especially in sixth grade. We were basically siblings, right? I was relatively new to the school because I started there in fourth grade. So I was I was more like a cousin, you know? Anyway.
Yawn. God damn it, Alana. God damn it.
Take your turns faster.
Cover your mouth.
It must have been springtime, and I showed up to school in a spaghetti strap shirt, as you do. Ooh. And also for context.
Oh, get it on.
Also for context, I was I developed early. So I was a young woman at this point. I was 12 years old, right? Okay. Whatever.
I'm imagining.
So I walk into school in the morning, and the principal's like, "Oh, Naomi, are you cold?" Because I guess it was a little chilly. And I was like, "No, I'm fine." And I walk in.
Butter. No, that's not what it means. It means the nips were out.
So then later on, they call me to the principal's office. Well, okay, so we had a principal, and then we had a head rabbi person. So I think it was the rabbi person who was a woman who asked me if I was cold. The principal was a man. So I go into the office to talk to him. He's an older man. And he's like, "Did the rabbi speak with you this morning about your clothes?" And I was like, "She asked if I was cold, but yeah." And he's like, "Well, you see, we have a dress code." And he points to the dress code, which basically is the vaguest shit you've ever seen about be modest, but it doesn't talk about anything specific. And also, sure. I should point out that girls wore spaghetti strap shirts all the time at school, but they didn't have boobs. So anyway, so it makes a difference, apparently.
Spaghetti straps at any school I went to.
Well, anyway, maybe that was the point in the 90s where everybody learned that they had to be more specific with dress codes.
Yeah, you caused that.
No, anyway. Okay.
It was because of Naomi.
But anyway,
she ruined it for you, Alana.
That's when I got called to the principal's office.
All right. And would you do it again?
Yes. It was very body shamey. And I remember...
Oh dear.
And also the idea that somehow the rabbi asking me if I was cold was the equivalent of her talking with me about my attire. I'm not picking up what you're putting down, Rabbi.
Clearly not. Well, I will say that I have never been sent to the principal's office.
What? Can't be true.
100% true. I am a real goody-goody, unlike Jay.
What?
You want to hear something else amazing? Neither am I.
They're probably afraid to send you guys because they're afraid they'd send the wrong one.
That's twin prejudice. How dare you say that?
The twin
asked.
Yeah.
In the
very
twin.
Wait, Matt, did you ask this question just so you could brag about that?
No, I honestly want to know.
It's a good question, but it didn't
hurt.
Match fix the question?
We did not match fix the brag.
Yeah, I got some invincibles in first grade. I think, unless I'm misremembering, but yeah, I got into some fight in recess, and it was with one of my best friends, but like, I think I was in the wrong here. I was just like,
Don't admit.
I was just like, I was just being a little dick. I was just like, there's this little plant and I was like kind of kicking it. And he's like, don't kick that plant. And I was like, it's just some stupid plant. Who cares? I kept kicking it more and more.
I'm gonna kick this plant if I want to, be honest.
I'm gonna do whatever I want with this plant. And I just kept going at it. And then like he like started like pushing me. And then I pushed him back and it just escalated a little bit. But it didn't get that bad. And we were like friends the next day. Like it wasn't that dramatic. Yeah.
Wow. Still remember. Rob was like a psycho.
Yeah, nothing's changed, yeah.
No respect for plant life or human life. No.
So if you see my backyard, nothing's changed, yeah.
You're out there every day.
It feels like it, I mean.
So Guru, which trip to the principal's office do you want to tell us about?
I was not in that highlight. I only went to the principal's office just once.
Okay, what happened?
Just once. Because I did not do my homework and my teacher gave me a warning. If she'll give me one day to finish it. I said, sure, but I didn't know how serious she was. The second day as well, I did not do it.
Guru was like, she told me I had one day to do it, but she didn't mean it. Teachers are such jokesters.
That means nothing.
She said, okay, let's go to the principal's office.
She didn't say a day on Earth. She might have meant a day on Mars.
And I thought to myself that that was not a big enough punishment because they didn't call the parents to school.
So you didn't do it again? And you're like, what are you going to do?
This is like when Calvin's supposed to do his math homework and he just keeps not doing it.
But no, I took the principal's office serious the third day I did it.
All right. And last but certainly not least, Alana.
Me? Okay. In middle school, not high school, so it's still correct. Me and we had a sub in orchestra. And me and a friend of mine, whose name starts with an E, we like went to the bathroom without asking permission. And when the sub was like, hey, where are you going? She claims we laughed at her, which we totally did. And then she said,
wow. You laughed at her for her asking you where you
were
going?
She was like, hey, where are you guys going? And we're like, ha ha ha. And then we went to the bathroom.
Wow.
Just for that, they took the principal's office.
Well, see, the thing is, Guru, it was a sub. Okay? Subs are like, they can't handle anything. If it had been our like regular orchestra person, he would have been like, whatever.
Well, Alana.
What?
I'm sorry that happened. It seems unfair.
Yeah, whatever. The vice principal was like, who are you and why are you here? And this is silly, but don't do that again.
You were like, yes, sir.
We were like, yeah, okay. Because it's like, in middle school, he probably sees like the same kids over and over and over. So it's like, yes. Yeah, you got two girls. It was an orchestra of all things. Like, give me a break.
So everybody answered?
I didn't realize there were only two.
Oh. Here we go.
Hey, relax, everyone. Okay.
I did the same thing. Honestly, stop giving me.
Well, I hope it doesn't get to me again.
All right. Are you guys ready for question number three?
Like two questions.
You in a hurry?
Yes, yes. Oh, man, there's so many good ones. I don't know which one to do. I guess we'll do another one that comes to us courtesy of Guru. Which is, what is something you created that you're most proud of? And I think she's specific, Guru, you can feel free to weigh in, but I think she was specifically referring to things like a song or a piece of art or something creative, right?
So not my children?
Exactly. I knew that answer was going to come.
Are you really that proud of them, Naomi? I mean, come on.
She preempted.
Extremely proud of them. They're so intelligent and kind and wonderful.
Wow. Okay. Well, I will lead off by saying...
I have never been to the principal's office.
That's not true, Naomi.
Okay, the principal called us that one time, but I don't think she had to go to the office.
No, she was 100% sent to the office.
Okay, whatever. She may have hit a kid.
No. And what about the other time where she told somebody, a bunch of kids, that she wished their dogs were dead?
Yeah, that happened too.
Yeah, so one kid's never been sent to the principal's office, but it's only been 1 year.
That's true.
You've got a lot of school left.
That's true. Yeah. All right. So nice job, Alana. Ooh, close game. Exactly. I will start off by saying two things. The X-Files movie and Attack of the Mimes.
Oh, yeah.
Matt gets credit for the X-Files movie because he's the director.
Yeah. I mean, it was a team effort, but I'm still proud of it.
That's a good choice. I mean, I can go next. Those are an options. I grade a lot of good poems for the Spy-Fi guys. I'm the mastermind of the cheesy line reading contest. Oh, I've done a lot of creative stuff. But the thing I'm most proud of is Clear. It's the Tuesday Night Gaming theme song.
The Tuesday Night Gaming theme song precludes all of those other things?
I think so. Yeah. It amuses me every time I listen to it.
I thought AI did all the poems.
No, that is slander.
No.
I've never been so insulted in my life. I write them all.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Who's your hand, Zach? I'm writing poems.
You are? Gurus. She's the hand of the king.
Oh. Yeah, all right. Who's next? Naomi, you wrote a bunch of songs. You must be proud of them.
Yeah, let me think. I have some creative pursuits. I think, what am I most proud of?
All right, while you're thinking about it, somebody else can go. Rob, you must have a movie that you made that you must be proud of.
I feel like my scripts are better than my movies. But I'll go with one of the script. Then. Yeah, I have a good script that's, it's a real classic script. It's about killer furries. I'm pretty proud of that.
I remember that one.
That's been mentioned on this podcast before.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. It's a B+.
Okay, I have my answer. I wrote a song in high school called Where'd the Time Go? And it's actually like a really good song.
No, don't ask. Please don't ask.
No, don't sing it.
Just say it. To sing it?
This weekend you could have a private performance.
Yeah, that's fine. But the point is, like, it's really good, but it's really dumb when I think about how I wrote it in high school, and I was like so worried about like time moving too fast and like not wanting to grow up and like whatever. And it's really like whiny teenager stuff, but whatever, it still applies.
How are you, Jay? You're creative, you've done costumes, art. It's on so much art in general.
The website.
The institution. The legend.
TNG logo. Logos.
The company.
Oh, I thought about proud of.
It's an LLC.
It's how I do all my stuff.
I was, this will give you a little more insight to who I was as a teenager too. I invented sort of like an art form when I was in like eighth grade that people were still talking about through my senior year of high school. I would chew up candy, like Skittles and stuff. And then I'd spit it out and put it on the paper and make different colors. And then I'd paint over it with Mod Podge.
Gross.
I called it okay. Like already been chewed. Yeah, it was a big hit, kind of. I don't know. I thought it was a hit, but I think kids were probably just making fun of me in retrospect.
It's good that you can look back with wisdom.
But I'm pretty proud of it because, you know, no one else does art that way.
It's unique. Yeah,
I would agree about that. Nice.
Made some really beautiful pieces that way too.
Yeah, before the flies got to it.
Well, that's what the Mod Podge is for.
All right, Alana, Guru.
You know, something.
You must have created something.
Yes, I created an art piece.
Right.
At work, so they said something like, "We want people of different abilities to be able to enjoy." So I did this like 3D sort of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Which was well appreciated. I don't know how many participated, but I ended up being second place.
Wow.
The class to be taken is I don't know how many participated.
In the beginner division, too.
That's all right. You can be proud.
All right, Alana.
The two trips to Japan that I planned and executed.
It's a little unusual answer.
Yeah, that's not really the spirit of the question.
Planning, creativity, execution.
What was the most creative part?
Like the itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
Like making sure that we were able to do all the things we wanted to do when we could do them.
All right. Thank you.
I support
it. So trying to get tickets with Chase points.
I was about to.
That's pretty creative. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll do the sign off.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us every week at 8 p.m. at twitch.tv/mcslanty. Group up with us next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you. Come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming, with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they play.